Father, we thank you for all the wonderful things you're doing here at Calvary, even the things that I do not understand, but I know that you're always here helping us. But Lord, my heart tonight is for the mission team departing in the morning. And Lord God, we just pray your divine protection over them all the way there and while they're there and all the way back. Not a hair of their head will be harmed. We thank you that the angels of God are encamping around the righteous, Lord, protecting them, preparing their way, even the place they lay their head, even the pillow, Lord. Everything that they do, everything that they say is divinely protected and guarded by you. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless them now. And, Lord, also for all that we're praying for, all the people that have been ill, we lift them up to you as well. And I ask you, Father, somehow, some way through this busy day that we've had, that my mind will become clear and, Lord, my spirit becomes calm. And I'm able to articulate your word with passion and with your power. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight, Father. And we're so thankful that we have been washed and cleansed from our sins. Oh, Lord, now help us tonight. Be with us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Amen. Let's turn in the Old Testament to a book called Leviticus that we're really learning to love. Amen? We're going to be in Leviticus chapter 12 tonight. Going to cover a couple of chapters because chapter 12 is very, very short. And, you know, I've entitled the theme or the series here, Loving Leviticus. And, you know, the Old Testament books, so many of them today are not, people don't, they're not being taught. Not only are they not being taught, they're not even being studied. And I'll tell you, Leviticus is an incredible, wonderful book. And if we can just get that into our hearts and learn to love every word of God, how much better off we're going to be. So Leviticus is the call for holiness. God said, I am holy, therefore you be holy. That is the theme of Leviticus. And tonight we're going to cover chapter 12 and chapter 13. And they teach us about sin. And there is only one cure for man's sin. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the great physician, and he heals all of those who are sick in sin. He touches our and helps us. So let's begin tonight. We're going to look at the law of leprosy, but we're going to begin in chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she shall be unclean. Now, on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. In other words, a little boy will be brought into the Abrahamic covenant, okay? And she shall continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. Now, it's important, you know, when we read the Bible that we try to understand it. Amen. And we look tonight at this and childbirth, you know, I've heard people say this, that childbirth rendered the mom unclean. That's not true. And childbirth didn't render the little baby, the little boy being born into the world, unclean either. It was the postnatal discharge that was unclean. You follow me? Verse 7 will tell us about that in just a minute. And so she was unclean for a period of 40 days, which gave her, of course, the opportunity to bond with the little one. And not only that, is for her to rest up from her household duties and so forth. But if it's a girl, now watch this. It says, if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. Did you notice that when it was the birth of a little girl, it was different? In other words, the period of time was doubled and so forth. Now, here's the reason. Are you ready for the reason for that? It's important that you get it. Here it is. No reason is given, okay? Now that you've got that, let's move on to verse 6. It says, now when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether it's for a son or a daughter, they're both equal in God's eyes, okay? She shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering. In other words, if they were very poor, they could bring the least of the offerings to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. And she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. And this is the law. This is the law for her who has born a male or a female. And if she's not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons as one burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. Did you catch that? A burnt offering and a sin offering. Now, so the priest shall make atonement for her and she will be clean. Did you notice that she offered a burnt offering? Now, the burnt offering was for the reason for that was, of course, her total dedication to the Lord. See, she's about to re-enter into the community. She's able now to go to worship and so forth. And so her normal life is getting ready to begin again. And not only that, the cause of the defilement has now been made clean by these offerings. But my question is, why the sin offering? Why would you offer a sin offering for the birth of a child? And that's very important that we ask that question because chapters 12, 13, and 14 have to do with sin, okay? And we look at that, and that sin offering, if we go back and think about when we studied it out, of course, Jesus is our sin offering, amen? But it has to do with our human nature. In other words, or I should say, our fallen nature. In other words, when a baby comes into the world, are they saved? No. And they may look beautiful. They may be just, you know, they would smile, and when they smile, they just melt your heart, and they grab a hold of your finger, and they smile. I mean, they're just, you know, you just fall in love, and you should. But the fact of the matter is that unfortunately, every person born is born in sin, amen? So the sin offering was to teach them and to teach us a very great lesson. Like it said, like David said in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity," and listen to what David says, "and in sin my mother conceived me." Now listen, every member of the human race, when they are born fallen. Amen? Boy, that's so important in this world of psychology that we live in, you know, in the world, that the lives of this world. Listen, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as one man sin, or just as through one man sin, singular, sin entered the world," meaning the human race, "and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men." Why? Because all sin. Listen, Adam sinned, one sin. And that sin is now transferred to us because Adam is the federal head of the human race. And so when he sinned for all of us because we were in the loins, if you will, of Adam. Amen? And those in Adam all die. Those in Christ will be made alive. Now, when we think about this, you know, it says that they're going to die. It says, "and through death, sin," there in Romans 5:12. Every person in every generation always asks, especially when you're young, why do people die? Why do we have to die? And so forth. Well, the answer is only found in the Bible and no place else in the world. Two facts. The Bible tells us sin and death are universal. Amen? No matter where you go on this planet, you're going to find those two things. The Bible tells us, I've heard people say, for example, "Well, I've never sinned." And I'm going, "Boy, I'm getting ready to get away from you because lightning is getting ready to come down." No, remember what we learned when we taught through 1 John. It says in 1 John 1:8, "If we say we have no sin," sin singular, speaking there of our sin nature, it says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim to be sinless, God says, you don't know the truth. Jesus is the truth, amen? Now, with all that being said, as we begin chapter 13, the chapter we're going to cover tonight, I'm not going to cover the entire chapter because I want to move over into the New Testament and make application. But it's very important that we look tonight and remember a few things. First of all, if you count all these, they're long verses, a lot of verses here tonight, and God is speaking. The thing is that there's about, if I counted correctly, 21 physical or skin ailments that are mentioned in this chapter. And if there was anything that was breaking out, whether it was something on your beard, and if you didn't have hair, you were bald and so forth, and there was something breaking out or any kind of boil, any infection, raw flesh, whatever it was, the person had to go to the priest and be examined by the priest. That's what chapter 13 is all about on the law of leprosy. And to be unclean, if you were pronounced unclean by the priest, it meant certain isolation. They would lock you up, or you'd be isolated for 7 days, and at the end of 7 days, you'd come back, and the priest would look again at the area on your hand or your arm, wherever it was located, and if he wasn't satisfied with it, he would isolate you for another 7 days, and which was a total of 14, and then you would come back again. And if it was discovered to be leprosy, then you were pronounced unclean. And that was the worst thing that a person could ever hear from the mouth of a priest. Think about a priest having to tell someone who came for an examination, not for a remedy. Leviticus 13 has nothing to do with a remedy or a cure for leprosy. It only has to do with discovering it, the examination. Think about the priest who would look in the eyes of an individual and say, "You are unclean." We'll find out what that means in just a moment. But the law of leprosy, as we talk about it, again, it's not the treatment of leprosy. Now, what's interesting is from all the diseases known to man, God chose one disease to be a type of sin. And that is the sin, or that is leprosy. And you know what? We were all once spiritual lepers. Amen? But thank God he's cleansed us. Now let's look at chapter 13 tonight. And he said, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man," or literally that's anyone, a human being, okay? "When a human being has on the skin of his body a swelling or a scab, a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest." Now again, he's not coming for medical treatment. He's coming to be examined if you have those things anywhere on your body. "And the priest shall examine the sore of the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white," well, that means, of course, the hair now is dead, all right? And it says, "and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." Remember that leprosy is like sin. That's what God is teaching us tonight. And you know what? Did you know that a sin is just is skin deep, isn't it? When you think about it, because, you know, we were born with that sin nature, and leprosy, just like sin, it destroys the whole individual. You see, before we came to Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, we weren't physically dead, but we were spiritually dead. And the conduct and the way we lived in this world was actually under the rulership of the evil one. And we just kind of flowed with whatever we wanted to do. Whatever felt good, we did that. And so God is saying, you know what? Sin, it just destroys, or leprosy like sin, destroys the whole individual. But if the bright spot in verse 4, on the skin of his body does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore appears to be as it was, the sore has not spread. Not spread is a very important word. Not spread on the skin. When the priest shall isolate him another 7 days, and then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day, and if indeed the sore has faded, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should be spread all over the skin, after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. You know, when we read something that's thousands of years old, like the Word of God, you know what I'm trying to say? When God spoke to man, can you see that God cares about everything that we do? If we went back to chapter 11, God cared about the food that they ate, and you know, and so forth. God cares about everything in the individual's life. Amen? He cares about everything that you do in your life. He loves you. And here he was protecting not only the camp, but also the individual as well, because leprosy is a very contagious disease. And so we look at that, and over again, it was talking about how it spread and how it spread and how it spread. And that word unclean is a word, like I said a moment ago, that they never wanted to hear. You know, sin like leprosy is just like leprosy. Leprosy starts out as something very small on your body. You just see it. Maybe it itches a little bit. It doesn't look kind of red, you know, and swollen and so forth. It just starts out small, but then it starts spreading. You remember in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they just sinned. That one sin. And then their child, the first child born, the first baby born on this earth, the sin spread to him as well. And remember what Cain did? Cain was the what? First murderer on earth. And then after Cain, and then so here comes Noah and his generation, and sin was had consumed every person. Matter of fact, there were only 8 people found right in the eyes of God. Think about that. Out of all the people on earth, and then God had to destroy every living thing. Listen to me. We live in a world right now where sin has so saturated our society and the church that we're almost numb to it. Nothing. We're so desensitized to the things of the flesh or the language and so forth. I mean, I have never had cable TV in my life. But you know what? Just the regular shows are pretty vile. Do you understand what I'm saying? My gosh, I mean, they cuss. They horrible language on there. And the things that they do. So, you know, you just think, I can imagine what it must be like on cable. I mean, dear Lord. And I look how sin just spreads and spreads and spreads. It's just like leprosy. It's all over. Thank God that He has cleansed us from our sin. Amen. Now drop down to verse 40 with me. It says, as for the man on whose hair has fallen from his head, and I encourage you to read the rest of it. You can go over it and over it and over it. It's very easy to understand. But as for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald. But I think he's trying to explain this to Moses. You understand? He wanted to make sure Moses got it, all right? But he said, but he's bald, but he's clean. In other words, God is saying, now just because the person was bald doesn't mean leprosy caused it. He doesn't have leprosy. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he's clean. Now, if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it, and indeed if the swelling of the sore is reddish white in his bald head or on the forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, listen to what God says, verse 44, he is a leprous man. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. Now, the priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn. Look at that. His clothes shall be torn, ripped open, his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache. In other words, cover his mouth, his upper lip. He'll cover his mustache, and he's going to cry out, this leprous person, he's going to cry out, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean. Listen, 54 times in chapters 13 and 14, the word unclean is used. And again, it goes, he is unclean. He shall... Look at this now. Look at the consequences of being a leper. It says, he shall dwell alone, and his dwelling shall be where? Outside the camp. He's contagious. He will infect you. He will kill you. He will destroy you. He'll give you leprosy. That's what God is saying. Listen to me. Whatever sin touches will infect you. Amen? See, leprosy is just like sin, loved one. And we look at it and it defiles. And you know what? The sinner, he spreads sin wherever he goes. You ever notice that? Wherever he goes, we're going to spread sin if you live like that. He can't help it. It's just his nature. You know, the Bible tells us, he says, you know, for us not to be deceived that, you know, evil companionship corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I believe that is. Listen. We have to stay away from things that are going to contaminate us. Amen? And that's what he's teaching us here. Now look at verse 47 and following, because this is the disposing of the leprous garments, the clothes that he has on. And no matter the quality of the clothes, it doesn't matter. The leather, the wool, the linen, it doesn't matter. It has to be destroyed. Now watch this in verse 47. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, or you could say whether it's a polo or whatever, you understand what I mean. Whether it is in the warp, which means if it's woven, or in the woof, which means it's interwoven, It says, whether it's linen, wool, leather, or in anything made of leather, if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment of the leather, whether it's in the warp of the woof or in any part of the leather, it is a leprous plague. It shall be shown to the priest, and the priest shall examine the plague, isolate that which is the plague 7 days, and he shall examine the plague on the seventh day. And if the plague is spread in the garment, either in the warp of the woof, in the leather, or in anything made of leather, the plague is active. It's active leprosy. It is unclean. Now, there is only one thing that you can do with that garment. And it tells us, and look at verse 52, it says, you shall what? Burn that garment, which is the plague. And it goes on and lists all the linen or the wool and leather again. And here's the reason. For it is active, or literally, it is a spreading leprosy. It is a malignant leprosy. The garment shall be what? Burned in the fire. Verse 55, it says in the very end of verse 55, it says, and you shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away. Verse 57, if it appears in the garment and it goes on, anything made of leather, whatever, it is a spreading plague. What shall you do with it? You shall burn it in the fire. Look at verse 59. This is the law of the leprous plague in the garment of wool, linen, either in the warp of the woof, or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Now listen very carefully before we go and start making some application here. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. Okay? There is only one place where sin is going to go. Where's it going to go? In the fire. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, there's only one place, and this is so heartbreaking to me, as it should be to you, that those who turn away from the grace and the love and the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there's only one place where they're going to end up. And that is not a happy thought of mine. That's not a joyous thing for me to say. But you know what breaks my heart? Is it like what Jesus told us in Matthew 25, 41? He said, you know, hell wasn't made for man. Isn't that something? Hell was never made for man. Hell was made for whom? The devil and his angels. That's exactly what Matthew 25, 41 says. Look back at verse 45 for a moment. It says, now the leper on whom the sore... First, his clothes, you're going to tear. His head's going to be bare. He shall cover his mustache, cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days that he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp. With those verses in our mind, let's make application tonight by turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at verse 1, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had come down from the mountain, that meaning Jesus, our Lord, great multitudes followed him. And behold, look what happens. Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Leprosy was at that time the most dreaded disease in the ancient world. It was people trembled at the thought of that. And you know, if I read a book not too long ago, or actually several years ago, may I read you an excerpt from this book called Unclean, Unclean. Listen very carefully. I want you to listen about what leprosy does, okay? It says, this disease, the writer tells us, this disease, which today we call leprosy, generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows, and then soon the skin in such a spot loses its original color. It gets to be thick and glossy and scaly, and as the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to the poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, listen very carefully, begin to bunch. They begin to bunch up with deep furrows between the swellings, so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Fingers drop off, or literally they are absorbed. toes are affected similarly. Eyebrows and eyelashes just simply drop out. And by this time, one can see the person is in this pitiable condition. He's a leper. And by the touch of the finger, one can also feel it. One can even smell it. For the leper emits a very unpleasant odor. Moreover, in view of the fact that the disease-producing agent frequently also attacks the larynx, you know, the leper's voice acquires a very grating quality, and his throat becomes very hoarse, and you can now see and only feel, and you can smell the leper, but you can hear his rasping voice. And if you stay with him for some time, you can even imagine a peculiar taste in your mouth due to that odor. That is the plight. Because see, the New Testament doesn't, and the Old Testament doesn't paint that picture for us. This gentleman here certainly did. In Philip Yancey's book, which is entitled God, Where Are You? Listen to what he said about leprosy. He said, most diseases are feared because of their pain. He says, but leprosy is painless. Think about that. In other words, he says, the warning system of pain is completely gone from the leper. It's so bad, he writes, that in India, when he was there, that he literally saw people, lepers, reach their hand into a burning fire to pick up a potato that had been cooked without even hurting them. Or in other words, they felt no pain at all. Or he watched them, he says in this book, that they would walk across, if they ever walked across a shattered glass or whatever, they did not even know that they had cut their feet wide open because they felt no pain. And not that I'm trying to upset you, but I'm trying to get you to see what I'm talking about tonight, how sin is so wicked and leprosy is so wicked, and it's a type, okay? Listen, he said that in this book, that they would go to sleep at night and they did not know as they slept there, wrapped up, that the rats would come and literally chew off their finger and they didn't even know it. You understand? That's how sick and how horrible leprosy is. And some of you are saying, now, Bill, listen to me. Why did you go into such detail? Because that's what sin does to us. It destroys everything we are. And here's the thing. There are so many people, not only in the Church of Jesus Christ, but in the world today, and they are simply numb to sin. They don't feel it. They're so desensitized to it. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, that just breaks my heart. And I say, it's just sin. It just eats up all of our lives. Question, how did it begin with this nameless man? It just says, behold. That word behold means a wonder seldom seen. I mean, a leper's coming. You know, a leper can't do that. He shouldn't be approaching anyone. He's unclean. And I look at this and I go, oh, Lord, how did it begin with this guy? I mean, was he working in the field one day? And he said, what is that on my hand? What's that tiny spot there? Or did all of a sudden he start feeling like maybe some numbness in his hands or pain going through his body and he saw a spot or whatever? I mean, how old was he? How many children did he have? Who was this man? Here's what he knew. He knew this. He knew the law of leprosy. He knew because he was a Jew. He had to do something. He had to do a Leviticus 13 that we just read. He had to go show himself to the priest for an examination, not for the cure, but for an examination. Imagine how he felt when he heard those words, unclean. We don't get it today. You know, I look at that and unclean. Here's what the first thing went into his mind. Unclean. I'm going to dwell alone for the rest of my life. Unclean. I'm going to live outside the camp for the rest of my life. That moment that the priest said, you are unclean, that meant this. He could not go home. He could not go to his wife. He could not go to his children. He could not go to the synagogue. He was absolutely expelled. Imagine having to only speak to your family from a distance, yelling at them with a throat. It affected your voice. They didn't even recognize their own dad's voice anymore. We're talking about leprosy, but we're talking about sin tonight. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, living like that, not just for a few weeks, not just a few years, but living in that condition forever and ever until you die. What a picture of sin. Unclean, unclean. That's what God says, unclean. And you know what the leper had to do, loved one? Listen to me. He had to wear a bell around his neck. And as he was walking, you could hear the bell, and he would have to shout out, unclean. Remember, he had to cover his mouth, you know, where his mustache would cover it, and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. And he had to literally stay downwind 50 paces away from all the people. And if the wind was blowing, he had to be 150 feet away. That's what the Jews did. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes, thousands of people maybe, followed him. And behold, a leper came, and look what he did. He prostrated himself before Jesus. He worshiped him, saying, oh Lord, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Literally, it would read, you have the power, you have the ability to make me clean. Isn't it amazing? Out of all the thousands of people that were present, this one man felt that he could approach Jesus. Don't you know the crowd with, what do you think? How did they react to that? But did you catch that word in verse 2 now? Did you catch that word, Lord? And why, Lord? Amen? That's very important, and I was thinking about this today. In other words, after all of this suffering, all that he's gone through, he's not blaming God. Did you hear me? He's not saying, Lord, why? He's not even saying, why me? Now listen very carefully. He's not blaming God. Now listen very carefully. Who was the one who made him isolated from the camp? It was God. It was God's law. It was the law of leprosy. This was the commandment that God gave to Moses. He had to obey it. So, you know, when you think about it, it was God's law of leprosy that isolated him from everyone. But he wasn't mad at God. He wasn't angry. He wasn't angry at anyone. You know, I think about today in our time that we live in. And I say this tenderly to make you think, not to hurt you. But there's so many angry believers today. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I counsel all the time. I'm mad at God. Why did God do this to me? I'm going, God didn't do that to you. Where do you find that in the Bible? If God didn't want you around, you'd be gone. Amen? No, God loves us. You know, listen, and I look at that, and, you know, I hear sometimes, you know, well, my mama didn't love me. Okay. Well, my daddy didn't love me. All right. Well, let me ask you a question. Does that give you the right? Does that give anyone the right to say, because of that, I'm going to rebel? Because of that, I'm going to live any way I want to. Because of that, I'm going to drink myself to death. Because of that, I'm going to just stay as high as I can all the rest of my life. Are you following me? What gives a person the right to do that? Listen, we live in a time right now, this generation. In 1960, if I can remember the 60s, in the 60s, I may be wrong on this. I think there were probably, let's say that there was in the 60s, probably a dozen psychological maladies, okay? Mental disorders. Well, today there are thousands. Well, what happened? What happened? Let me tell you what happened. You know, Timothy Leary and all the guys came along, you know, tune in, turn on, drop out. You know what I'm talking about. But don't inhale it. You know what I'm saying? You understand? And all of a sudden, the whole world, especially America, because we were trying to get, you know, our minds all tuned in, the whole world started turning to psychology. Now, if you are a psychologist or whatever, don't be upset with me. I'm not trying to beat you up. But I look at this and I go, oh Lord, you know what's wrong today? We're a product, and they teach it in our schools. They teach it in our colleges. You know, we are a product of psychology today. In other words, they say, well, you know what? If you didn't have a mom, you know, oh boy, that's what's wrong with you. You didn't have a dad that loved you. Oh, that's what's wrong with you. That's why you're going to grow up. You're going to be so messed up. I want to tell you something. That is a lie. It's a lie. You know what? It is a lie. We are not a product of the environment that we live in. Do you understand that? Adam and Eve lived in a perfect environment. Amen? Did they blow it? Yes. Listen, did they blow it, and did they have a choice? Yes, they did. God didn't force it. God said, don't just leave that tree alone. You can do anything you want in the garden here. Eat of every tree. Have fun. Go name some more animals at them, whatever. But don't touch that tree. Because the day that you eat of that tree, if you do, that tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye shall surely not die. You shall surely die. Well, when they partook of that tree, did they die? They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. You know what's wrong with the human race? What's wrong with people is they're dead spiritually. Do you understand? And so they'll read some self-help book and go, well, you know what? That's what's wrong with me. You know, my daddy didn't love me. My mama didn't love me. My uncle hated me. Or whatever. I'm not making fun of that. Now, anyone's gone through that. Listen, my parents didn't care for me. You understand? They never gave me the L word. You know, I love you, Billy, and all that. I never heard that ever in my life. And I'm not going playing a violin up here or anything. I'm not a product of them. I'm a product, and you are a product of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Behold, old things have now passed away. All things have become what? New. Listen, I look at that and I say, Lord, that's who I am. And listen, and I'll tell you something else. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 27:10, because I used it in my life. It says this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Did you catch that? The Lord will take care of me. Oh, I'm going to have to go down and sit on that third bar stool and just, you know, drink Coors Light the rest of my life. They still make Coors Light? And Jesus, verse 3, then Jesus says, matter of fact, Mark's gospel says Jesus was moved with compassion. And then Jesus, look what he did to this leper. Watch this now. Jesus did something that no one else would ever do. He put out his hand, and look what he did to the leper. Touched him, saying, I am willing. I am willing, be cleansed. And look at this word. Immediately, underline that. Immediately, what happened? His leprosy was cleansed. Listen, Jesus put out his hand, and for all those years, you know what people did to this leper? They only stepped back. For the first time, someone is stepping toward him. Think about that. For the first time in years, he has a human touch. Do you understand? The human touch. Somebody's touching him. The Lord is touching him. And all the damage that leprosy had done to this individual, it says immediately it was gone. What does that mean? It means immediately. Listen, his face was all furrowed. He looked like a lion. Are you following me? And all of a sudden, it was back to normal. And the toes and the fingers that were missing, now they're back too. And all of a sudden, his voice started changing. And it was his normal voice again. It says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now listen to me. When we come to Jesus Christ, immediately when we ask him to come into our heart, all of our sin is cleansed. It's cleansed. Amen? I look at this and I say, oh Lord, you're so good. And look what Jesus says there in verse 4. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. You know, I'd love that. Mark's gospel says he immediately went and told everyone. You know what I mean? Jesus, see, send immediately. You see what I mean? See that you don't tell anybody, but go your way. And now here it is. Show yourself to the... Now what is that? That's Leviticus chapter 13. Amen? See how we're making the application here tonight? That's Leviticus chapter 13. And look what he said to do. And offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony or a witness to them. Meaning a witness to them is meaning to the priest. Now, in this case, Jesus is doing that to say, you go to the priest, tell that priest what happened, and so forth. He says, in other words, Jesus said, tell him that God is here. Amen. Tell him that the God-man is here, Jesus Christ, in other words. And so it says, as Moses has commanded to testimony to them. Now, what... That is Leviticus chapter 14, which we're going to get into next week. But so Leviticus chapter 14, now listen very carefully. I encourage you to read that tonight. I encourage you to read the first 32 verses. Because the first 32 verses of Leviticus chapter 14, it is unbelievable what God requires once a leper is cleansed. And everything, all those offerings and the blood and all the things that must be done in those 32 verses that God gives us in Leviticus 14, which we're going to go into next week, listen, is a picture of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Amen? Oh, it's going to be good. Now listen, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. What healed this leper's disease? We really need to look at that. It wasn't Jesus' touch, okay? The leprosy, this disease, was healed by his word. What did Jesus say? He said, be clean. Light be, light was. Amen? But he touched him. And I really thought about that. And because there's something about the human touch. There's something about hugging one another and shaking our hands and embracing. There's something about that. And I realized that he healed him. Jesus just said it, his word, be clean, and he was healed. But when he touched him, something else was healed. And that's his hurt. Do you understand? That's what grace and mercy does. Mercy is what removes our hurt. Amen? Grace is what saves us. And that mercy of God, he loves us so much. He touched that person that was totally unclean. Listen, the incredible power of human touch. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to touch the untouchables? Are you really willing? Are we really willing to do that? The untouchables of the world. Jesus is willing. Are we? In other words, remember Sunday, our sermon? They are waiting on you. The lost, the hurting, the untouchables, the people that nobody wants. God says, I want them. I want all of them. I want everyone. And we're the people to go and follow in our Lord's footsteps. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? He said in Matthew 10:6, he said, listen, I want you to go. I want you to preach saying this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here it is. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. Everything we have has been given to us. Amen? Now listen, leprosy is a horrible, horrible picture of sin. Listen to David as I read from Psalm 38:1. He says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten or literally discipline me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses or crushes me down. Now listen to what he says. There's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones. Why? Because of my sin. Sin is a type of leprosy. You follow me? And he says, oh, my iniquities, David says, they've gone up over my head. I'm in trouble, Lord. In other words, like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds are foul. In other words, I stink like a leper is what he's saying. He says, they're festering because of my foolishness, because of my sins. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation and there's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble, severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. That is a picture of sin right there, what it does to an individual, what it does to those who know the Lord. Listen, don't ever hide your sin. Confess your sin. Amen. God loves you. Run to him. That's what I do. Run to him as fast as you can get there. Because let me tell you something. You know what? When a person sins, here's what happens. They feel isolated from God, because you may not break sonship, but you break fellowship. Amen. And you kind of say, Lord, where are you? And God says, oh, I'm here. But you need to come back to me. You need to confess your sins. Listen, the leper was outside the camp. The leper could not approach anyone unless he was 150 feet or 50 paces away, yelling, unclean, unclean. Now listen, when you think about that, this sin, how it separates, leprosy, how it separates, it isolates. Listen to me. The leper was excluded from the only spot in the world where God's presence was and where his presence was enjoyed. Amen? I'm talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness. He couldn't come near it again. He couldn't worship God. He was unclean. Listen, when we're unclean, a person who doesn't know the Lord is unclean. Are you listening to me? God loves that person, but God wants to clean that person up. And the only way for that to happen, the only cure for sin, is Jesus Christ. He's the one who bore our sin on the cross. So there are only two kinds of people in the world. They're lepers and cleansed lepers. We happen to be cleansed lepers tonight. Amen? We can approach the Lord. Our sin has been forgiven. But here's the thing we need to see. The leper approached Jesus in faith, not doubt. He just came to him and says, Lord, he called him Lord, meaning, I know who you are. And he worshiped him. And he said, Lord, he said, I know that you can do anything, but are you willing to do it? That's all I need to know. Here I am, do something. Listen to me, loved one. Jesus said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Tonight, before I came out here, as I was in prayer, and I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. And I wrote it down so I'd make sure I didn't forget. I put it on a stick note and put it here on the pulpit. And in Leviticus chapter 13, when there was a problem in your life, if there was any kind of infection, you know, when it boils, whatever, spots, whatever, you had to do something. You had to go show yourself to the priest. Isn't that what Jesus just said? He said, listen, now you go and do what it says in Leviticus 13 and 14. You go show yourself to the priest. And I started thinking about that. And it's like the Lord impressed upon my heart. What's your need tonight? Go show yourself to your priest. He's our great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may not know what to do tonight, which way to go. You may feel like you're stepping into a whole new day in your life, a whole new world, a whole new time, and you're afraid. You don't know what to do. Go show yourself to your priest, Jesus Christ. Some of you are ill in your body, praying over and over again for healing. Go to him in faith and say, here I am. Do something, Lord. I know you can do anything. Are you willing tonight? Are you willing to touch me tonight? Sin is like leprosy. It must be cleansed. Remember what the Lord told Isaiah? He said, come now. Come right now. Now, not tomorrow. Come now. And here's what God said. And let us reason together. Isn't that amazing? God says, you come here and talk with me. Let's reason this out. Let's talk about your situation. Let's talk about your sin. Come right now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And he says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Go show yourself tonight to your great high priest. What is your dilemma? What is a secret sin or the presumptuous sin, if any? Direction that you may need. Healing that you may need. Go to him. For he loves you and he died for you. He is so willing. Jesus said, oh, I am willing. I am willing. Be thou clean. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one that will ever love you like Jesus. Listen, even when we are at our lowest and we think that God could not love us, that God still loves us. He's still willing to help us in anything. Father, tonight we praise you, we honor you. And Lord, tonight, whatever is going on in the hearts of your people, that's the word I believe you gave me. Go show yourself to the priest, the great high priest. Lord, as our heads are bowed and no one looking around and every Christian praying, no one anxious to leave. Lord, you hear the prayers of your people. They're coming to you right now. They're showing their heart to you right now. Some are confessing secret sins. Some are just saying, Lord, I feel so lonely. I feel so lost. I don't know what to do or who to turn to. Some are just saying, you know, Lord, I do blame my father. I do blame my parents. I do blame that incident. And that's why I said I could just live any way I want to. That's why I rebelled and I'm wrong. Lord, tonight I just need forgiveness. I need you to touch me. I need to hear the words, be clean. But I need you to touch me. I need your hand to touch me so you will heal my hurt. Lord, do that tonight for your sheep. Touch them in the area of their hurt. And those that are ill in our body that are here with us tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus, the mighty Son of God, heal your people. Heal diseases known and unknown. Oh God, touch them. Do a miracle, Lord, in their lives. Touch them. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Touch their hearts, touch their minds, touch the infirmity of the flesh, oh God. Show yourself strong on behalf of your church, your people, your possession. Rise up, oh God, in this place and bring healing. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We honor you tonight, O God. Baptize us afresh. Fall upon us. Fall upon our nation, O God. Capture our hearts once more and let the joy of the Lord really be our strength again. May everything that we hold dear, that we exalt above our Savior, may they simply exit our heart right now. And may only Jesus fill it. And those that don't know you tonight, Lord, that are either listening live or they're here in this chapel, may they simply cry out to you where they are seated and saying, oh Father, save me, forgive me. Cleanse me. Jesus, be my Lord. Pray that if you don't know Him. Pray it right now. And He will come into your heart. And He will save you. In Jesus' name. And the church says,